Please join with me for a moment of prayer. Our beloved Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the blessed opportunity we have to come to Thy house and worship Thee. And we thank Thee for blessings Thou hast given us in worship thus far in prayer, both silently and audibly, and in the singing of hymns. Now, O Lord, bless us, we pray, as we enter into the preaching and hearing of Thy word, that we might continue to worship Thee in spirit and in truth, that Thy servant may preach Thy word, Thy people may hear and understand, and that it may honor and glorify Thee and edify and strengthen Thy people. Be with us, O Lord, we pray, to these ends. Bless those who've asked an entrance in prayer and all for whom we should pray, and forgive us of our sins. We humbly ask in the name of Jesus Christ, and amen. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I invite your attention to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 12 and verse 32. Again, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 12 and verse 32. And this particular verse of Scripture reads, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Now, I want to say in the very beginning, this is a part of the Sermon on the Mount. And when we think of the Sermon on the Mount, we think of Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. And what was contained in this verse is not in that, but I believe it is. And I'll show you why I think it's part of the Sermon on the Mount a little bit later. Now, he begins the expression by saying, "Fear not." And the word "fear" is translated from the Greek word which is phobeo, which is where we get our word or combining form, phobia. Fear of this, fear of that, is all kinds of different phobias that people have. All right? What can fear do to us? Fear can make us irrational. And a companion text to this is 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Again, it's 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. And it reads, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now, fear in this verse of Scripture, when it says God hath not given us the spirit of fear, fear in that verse of Scripture is translated from the Greek word dilia. Now, and that's where we get our word delirium, all right? And delirium is at least temporarily a form of insanity, all right? Now, but God gives us just the opposite. God gives us the spirit of a sound mind. Again, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And God gives us the spirit of love. That is, it draws us closer to God. That is, when we love God as we should, that draws us closer to God. When we love our fellow man, or our neighbors, or our brothers and sisters in Christ in the church, or wherever they may be, that draws us closer to God. That is because when we live the commandments of God in our lives, that draws us a little closer to God. And then God gives us the spirit of power as opposed to the spirit of weakness. And that power is translated from the Greek word dunamis. And you can probably figure out, if you think about the word dunamis, that there's a word that we use that comes from dunamis, and that is dynamite. It is an expression of power. Now, there's an expression like this in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." That is, there's something greater within us than that which is in the world. The Spirit of God is within us. I believe it's Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. The end of that verse reads, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." It calls it a mystery. And that is, that mystery is Christ in you, or let me paraphrase that by saying, Christ in us, the hope of glory. The one who created the heaven and the earth and spoke it into existence is stronger than any other force or combination of forces that may be here in this world. So we do not have the spirit of weakness or the spirit of fear, but we have the spirit of power. Now, fear can hinder us from doing what we ought to be doing in the service of God. And we may, because of fear, we may not glorify God as much as we should. And fear can cause us to miss many blessings. But God gives us strength to serve Him and reap blessings in serving Him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Beautiful verse of Scripture. For we walk by faith, not by sight. That is, with all these things that may be in our way, and yet we walk by faith. It's like in Psalm 23. The expression there is, for, yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, a man wrote a book by the name of, I can't remember his name right now, but nevertheless, he said, now here's what it means agriculturally. That is the idea that when sheep left, or when the shepherd took the sheep from the home grounds during the wintertime to the summer grazing high grounds, then they went through this place called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. There were all kinds of dangers there in the Valley of the Shadow of Death, and yet in spite of those dangers, it was still the best way for them to go from the home place to the high ground. There were certain grazing places there. There was water along the way, and all those things they needed, all the things that the sheep needed there. Now, but there were dangers there. There were boulders and crevices there, and wild animals could be in those crevices hoping to pop out and take one of the sheep or one of the lambs, and yet they said, I fear no evil. Why? Because the shepherd is with us. Again, we walk by faith, not by sight. We may walk through difficult areas or difficult times in our lives, but we walk by faith knowing that He is our shepherd, and the shepherd will be with us during those times. All right? What are some things we may fear? All right? We may fear of doing without. Beautiful verse of Scripture, Psalm 37 and verse 25. And David said this, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That is, God has promised that He will take care of us. That is, David, observing this, has observed this all during his lifetime, that those that were endeavoring to serve the Lord took care of them. Now, they may have been some of those that went in debt that they could not pay. But God had a way to take care of them. That is, a near kinsman would take that one to be a servant, and he would not make him serve with rigor. He would give him all those things he needed. And then when he left, when the time left, when he could come and leave that near kinsman, no longer serving him, then the near kinsman would bless him liberally out of all that he had. But you see, the near kinsman, if he did that, the Lord would then take care of him also. And so they had to do those things by faith under the law. All right? Jesus spoke of doing without. And that's in the one I chose is in Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount in verses 31 through 33. Again, Matthew 6 in verses 31 through 33. And these verses of Scripture read, Jesus said, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things that the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, a lot of people, I suppose, do take, or they can take that last verse of Scripture and run wild with it. Now what I mean by that is, listen, read it again. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Some people have the idea, I feel surely, that if I serve the Lord, I can be filthy rich. Well, that's not what He's saying. All these things. Now, I know you know this, but I'm just reminding you. These is one of those pronouns. It's demonstrative pronoun, I believe it is, Well, along with three others, this, that, these, and those. Here's the demonstrative adjective because it modifies things. These, now what is it? It's plural, but it's something close by. Those are further away. When he says these things, that is these things that are mentioned close by. All right? What is it? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? That is the idea of food, drink, and clothing. That is the basic needs of life. Now, it doesn't even mention shelter there. But that's a basic need in life. We're faithful to the Lord. He'll bless us with that. Doesn't mention transportation there. A little bit different transportation than we do today, but God gives us that. It may not be a Mercedes Benz. I don't need one of those, by the way. I don't need to buy one for sure. I don't need for someone to give me one if they were even thinking about it, because if we need a repair, I probably couldn't afford it. But nevertheless, brothers and sisters, God gives us that which we need in our lives. The basic needs of life, whatever those may be, God will give us those things, all right? If we seek the kingdom of God first in His righteousness. Now, I told you the one in Luke, though our text is not mentioned here in Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount, that the same thing that Jesus spoke that's recorded here in Matthew 6, verses 31 through 33, is also recorded in Luke chapter 12, verses 28 through 31, which is right before our text, Luke chapter 12, verse 32, which is, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Alright? There's a fear of persecution. Well, the apostles went through physical persecution, especially the Apostle Paul. There's no record of what the others suffered, much that is, as it is the Apostle Paul. But concerning 11 of the 12 apostles, that is, all of them died except for one. Only the Apostle John died of natural causes. All the rest of them, all of them suffered persecution in one way or another. And yet, in spite of that persecution, they were still faithful to the Lord. Now, we don't know persecution, but we may someday. And our enemies try to persecute us by law. That is the idea there. Make something that we're doing to serve the Lord, make it against the law. That is, the laws of the land. You know, there are those that have the idea that it's okay to do what we're doing right now, but you know, once you leave this place, then just leave it behind you. Leave your religion behind you. Well, that's not what God taught us to do in His Word, and I think you know that without my saying so. But again, and that's one of the ways that people would try to persecute us by law. All right? Some great periods of growth have happened during times of persecution. And people thought Jesus was through when He was crucified. And we should remember that Jesus suffered. And think about this. If there comes a time for us to suffer for Christ's sake, or our being obedient to the Word of God, then we need to remember that Jesus suffered, and Jesus suffered on my behalf. And so therefore, it's not wrong that if we're called on to do that, that is that we might be willing to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. We're no better than Jesus. All right? Jesus said this, fear not, little flock. A little flock shows that there's some ownership there. It's like a shepherd and a flock of sheep. When Jesus spoke this and said, fear not, little flock, they knew what He meant by that. There's a shepherd and he owns a flock of sheep. All right? But the little flock, I understand, represents a remnant of the Lord's people. That is, not all of the Lord's people, but a remnant of the Lord's people. Now, this is, as I told you a number of times, this is a part of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5 and the first two verses read, and seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain, and when He was sent, His disciples came unto Him, and He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, that is, Jesus taught His disciples. We need to remember that. You know, there's a lot of figurative language. There's some figurative language in the Bible. But if we read it enough, we'll find out there's some literal keys there in that figurative language. Well, here is the key to the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus was speaking to his disciples. Now, there's no doubt in my mind that there were probably others who heard what Jesus said. I don't know that. The scriptures don't say that. But there were those all the time that wanted to hear what Jesus said so that they could have some reason to find something against him. And so there were likely some of those there. But Jesus taught his disciples here. All right? And there are special blessings that the Lord has for his people. All right? What is the little flock? Well, it's not, we think of a little flock as a small church. Well, it's not just a small church. It can be a small church. But the little church can be a large church or a portion of the large church. But those in the little flock are in the minority. Now, the word little is translated from a Greek word which is makros. Now, if that didn't ring a bell, if you read it, saw it in print, you might know what it meant. It's the same as micro. All right? Fear not, micro flock. Little flock. Little flock. Small flock. Jesus said this concerning that in Matthew 7, again in the Sermon on the Mount, verses 13 and 14. And here Jesus said, enter ye in. By the way, let me say this before I read this. It doesn't mention the kingdom of God here, but the predominant theme of the Sermon on the Mount is the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. That's one thing we need to remember. The predominant theme here, he mentions over and over again that either the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. And by the way, they are synonymous one with the other. Now, the only book in the Bible that has the term kingdom of heaven is the Gospel according to Matthew. Any other book in the Bible, if you find out the kingdom, is called the kingdom of God there. Now, there may be some little differences there, but generally it's called the kingdom of God elsewhere outside of Matthew. And in Matthew, it's also called the kingdom of God. All right, so that's the predominant subject. And so when I read these two verses of Scripture, know that we're talking about the kingdom of God. All right? Jesus said this, Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate. By the way, that's S-T-R-A-I-T, which means narrow. All right. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight, or narrow, is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. That is the narrow way, or the narrow gate, the narrow way, is the idea there is no room for deviation. Now, I'm not sure how many lanes are there now, but somewhere above the Chattahoochee River, going towards Marietta, there's a place in I-75 North. There are 8 lanes going in one direction. I can be this lane on the left, that far lane on the right, and all kind of room for deviation. That's the Broadway. Now, Daddy had a place on the farm that he owned. It was called the Don Miller Place. And there were a couple of good fields of coastal Bermuda grass that was good for making hay. All right? And then there was one way we could go to get back to where we wanted to load the hay, or store the hay rather, and that is it was a dirt road. All right? And then going right up to the road, right up to the lanes on either side, was Kudzu. No room for deviation whatsoever. Now you might get over here, but you might know if there's a rock or stick or whatever else that may be there that could tear up a tire or a hole. You don't know that it's there, but you have to stay in your lanes there. No room for deviation. That's God's way in our lives. But we're not to turn, as I've been reading in the Old Testament, think you find it in the New Testament, neither to the left nor to the right. There's a ditch on either side there. But nevertheless, brother and sister, we are to follow God's way and not deviate from that. But listen, that leads to life. And I believe when he said that leads to life, he's talking about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. Now, think of it in this way. What is life? Well, I know this is going to blow you away when I tell you this, but life is the opposite of death. Now, you never would have thought of that, I'm sure. But you knew that. But I'm just reminding you that. Okay. Now, the idea is death. What does death mean? Death means separation. And that is, we talk about being dead. There are those that we were all once before God quickened us or gave us spiritual life. We were all dead in trespasses and sins. That means we were separated from God, period. Now, we can be separated from God's fellowship. That's one thing we need to think about. I'm no longer dead. Well, we can be dead. And what I mean by that again is dead or separated from the fellowship of God. All right, now, when Jesus said this is a way that leads to life, what he's saying there, this is a way that leads to union and communion with the Lord. Again, just the opposite of death there. All right, and so, my brothers and sisters, that's what we're to be. And so, that leads to fellowship and the joy of God. All right, but the little flock is a remnant of the Lord's people who strive to be faithful to the Lord. All right? It is our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. God the Father's pleasure. That is, He's our Father. We belong to Him. Remember, fear not, little flock, the shepherd and the flock there. All right? God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. All right? From the Father as our provider. Now, again, if we seek to enter in the kingdom of God, we put that first above all things. Remember, He'll give us everything we need in life. I won't go back and read about food, drink, and clothing and that sort of thing, and maybe some other things that could be mentioned there. But nevertheless, God will give us what we need in life. Maybe not everything we want. I don't have everything we want. Probably have it. Probably won't. But nevertheless, God gives us all that we need. God will provide our basic needs. Again, now think about this. Remember what Jesus said, be not concerned about what you eat. Alright? He didn't say anything about whether you eat or not, but what you eat. You know, sometimes we say, well, I don't want this, and that may be okay, but we're concerned about what we eat. We're concerned about what we drink. And I like iced tea. Unsweetened tea with lemon. And sometimes I go to a restaurant and they say they don't have lemon. I tell them that irritates me so much I'll drink it without lemon. That's how much that bothers me. But listen, we worry about what we drink. We worry about what we wear. You know, we got to be trendy and that sort of thing. Now, it wouldn't take you long to figure out I'm not trendy. But listen, God's blessed me with good clothes to wear, and I'm thankful for that. Some of the suits I wear, I've worn for quite a few years, and some I haven't, but I may do that, the Lord willing. But God has blessed me with those things that we have. So we don't even got what we need to worry about what we eat or what we drink or what we wear or whether our house is so dated or not or all of the things like that. But listen, God will give us those things in life. Now, turn over with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And for all you are of you that. I knew that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. That is, we seek the Lord first, and by doing that, we're walking by faith, and God blesses us with those things that we need in life. All right? What is the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven? I told you earlier, they are synonymous terms. Romans chapter 14, verse 17 reads, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That is, again, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things, the meat and drink and clothing, will be added to the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, there's a reason that I think, at least one reason I can think of, that the Apostle Paul was inspired to write that, and that is that there was a controversy there among the saints at Rome of what they could eat and what they could not eat. Some said they could eat all meats regardless. Some said they could eat some meats but not others. Some said they could eat no meats. And so there was a big controversy there. And so, and with that in mind, he says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. That is, this is not what's most important. But what's important is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Listen, that's what God has for us. Listen, God has something better for us. That is, he said, listen, you worry about my service. I'll take care of you. I think about many of the times in the Old Testament, they had to walk by faith. For instance, I mentioned the man, the near kinsman, who took one of his near kinsmen as a servant because he had a debt that he could not pay. Well, when he went free, and there are reasons about that, guidelines of how one could go free. But when he went free, again, he was to furnish him liberally out of everything that he had. And therefore, when he went away, he had a start to get going. So just like that, he wouldn't be in debt again that he couldn't pay. So, but the idea again is that, listen, God took care of him. That's something that, well, I can't do that if I do this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, God says, I'll take care of you. That's another one. Right? And there are a number of times in the Old Testament when they did things that God said, I'll take care of you. When God gave them manna in the wilderness, they had to do that by faith, as God told them to do. That is, it's Sunday, first day of the week, by the way, in that day, and today, but the first day of the week, you're going to have manna. But you're going to have enough for that day, that's all. Well, they didn't believe God. Some of them didn't believe God, so they decided, well, we won't need to go out there the next day. We'll get enough for today and tomorrow, and so we'll have enough then. Why don't you go out and do that work? Well, they got it the next day, and it stunk. And whatever container was in stunk also, and they had to get rid of that. So they found out they could believe God. Well, God told them on the sixth day, you get enough for the Sabbath also. Because, you know, I want you out working on the Sabbath. So you get enough for the Sabbath. Well, some of them believe, he's not going to do that. It'll be out there. You got it the next morning to get it, and it wasn't there. So they had to believe what God said. When God said, this is the way for us to live in our lives. I tell you, brothers and sisters, a part of the kingdom of God is the church of Jesus Christ. And when we are able to worship in spirit and in truth, we're doing as we find in Ephesians chapter 2, and I can't remember exactly the verse there, but we're sitting together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus the Lord. And when we're doing that, we're experiencing God's kingdom. That is, we're experiencing righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I remember years ago when we were at Canaan in Illinois, and there was a couple that had not come to church for a while, and I went to speak to them, and they said, well, they went over to St. Louis to the Cardinals game and this, that, and the other. And the thought I had sometime anyway was, probably later, because I'm a great one to come up with things that I should have said when I should have said it later on. But the idea that I was at church and the Lord was there. Now, I tell you, that's the difference. You just can't beat that. There are other things we can do, but the Lord will bless us with Himself. And that's what the kingdom of God is all about. And I remind you again, God has something better for us. I tell you, in the kingdom of God gives us a picture of the love of Jesus, a small picture of the love of Jesus. Think of it in this way. Good kings that cared for their subjects then blessed their subjects when they were faithful to them. And Jesus is certainly no different than that, except for the fact that he's better. You know, other kings would give material goods and that sort of thing, and they blessed others greatly, I'm sure. But Jesus blesses us with himself. That is, the fellowship of Jesus Christ the Lord. God will give us his kingdom when we're faithful to him. And listen, when God gives us the kingdom, then others will hear about what God has done for us, and they will want to be a part of it. I remember the lady Elder Cliff Childs, who's preached here a number of times, but he preached a meeting in a church that is no longer there. Now, where the building was, it's not there. The building has been moved, and it's falling down, regretfully. But nevertheless, he had a meeting there. And the word got out of how the Spirit was blessing those people in that small church. And then there were people that came out of Macon because they wanted to experience what those people had. The Spirit of God was blessing. Listen, when others know about how God blesses us here at Bethesda, and they can know if you tell them, by the way, then some of them will have a desire to be a part of it and to find out just exactly what it's all about. And so, my brothers and sisters, may the Lord bless us to be faithful to Him, because He has many blessings for us in His service. He'll take care of all the needs of our lives, and He has many blessings for us in His service. The Lord help us to be faithful to Him is my prayer for Christ's sake.